Rabbi, what are we supposed to do? You know, what's going to happen to Ishmael after all this is done?
Okay, we'll go into this. This is exactly what we're working on. So now those of you who have page 43 from Galut Ishmael, which you distributed a few days ago.
Oh,
so to go back to this concept of the 15 negative qualities mentioned in the Gemara, which take place in the epoch of the Mashiach, Be'ikvus the Mashiach, and the prophecy concerning the extreme cruel aspects planned by the Bnei Ishmael against Am Yisrael, and especially now we're in a situation, we hope it won't happen, but they're about to sign an agreement to give our enemies the ability to use nuclear weapons against the people of Israel, in the land of Israel. And all these matters are already prophesied that we'll have these threats. And here I'll paraphrase this description of Ha'emet Nederet. Truth will not lead the people of Israel internally. And on the outside, the Bnei Ishmael, they base everything on lies. If there's not truth amongst the people of Israel, then the Bnei Ishmael, they increase their lies that they spread everywhere. And connected to this, I want to say something which has special significance, unfortunately, what's happening in Europe. Because it turns out now that the headline in today's paper, that Goebbels, who was the Minister of Propaganda, and who told as many lies as possible, called the principle, if you repeat a lie again and again, ultimately it'll become the truth. That was his policy, and how he brain contaminated Germany and other countries to believe in all the lies about the Jewish people. And it turns out now that there are certain, they're publishing the diary of Goebbels in Germany, and they make it all public. All the lies and how he prepared them, and the descendants of Goebbels, their heirs, are earning lots of money through the publication. That's taking place in Germany now. Unbelievable. They're spreading lies. And obviously these lies are used by Ishmael, who worked together with the neo-Nazis. And neo-Nazism is, unfortunately, all rearing its ugly head, even in Germany. And also they go and make their mosque as an alternative to our Beit HaMikdash. And as we saw in the previous page, which you have in front of you, which you studied yesterday, the highest level, the 15th high level of the people of Israel is the Beit HaMikdash. That's the Mala Tetva. So on the basis of this, we can understand that there are terrible things that happen to us. So on the basis of this, we want to try to understand now a passage in the book of Yeshaya. return to, which has to do also with the future Chavli Mashiach, birth pangs of the Mashiach. Look at Yeshaya. Chapter 3, verse 5. The Truths and Bible, what page is that on?
Yeah, 677. 677.
Isaiah chapter 3.
The grandfather. This one. Poor man who got killed by his grandson.
636.
Which page is it? 484. 45.
It's page 482. In the Jerusalem Bible. Does one of you want to read the English?
Oh. Yeah, I want.
I want to
do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh.
Well, let someone read it fast.
And it shall come to pass that he...
No.
...that is left...
Well, someone has got the place at page 482... Chapter 3, Yeshaya, begins with the verse, "For behold, the Master, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem, from Judah, the stay and the stutter, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the diviner, and the elder, the captain of 50, the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. Now make youngsters their princes, and babes rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the elder, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou a ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler over the people. For Yerushalayim is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their town and their doings are against Hashem, to provoke the eyes of his glory." So, here there's a description of the terrible corruption that will take place in Yerushalayim. The evils that will come. So, it's very interesting that the Gemara, the Chagiga, describes all this as follows. It says there, there's a 14a in Chagiga, that here there are 18 curses that Yeshaya pronounced against the Jewish people. And he was not satisfied, and he told them this verse. This is verse 5, we just read it. What's the verse? The people will be oppressed man by man and man by his fellow. They will domineer. The youngster over the elder and the base over the respectable. So what lies behind this? So first, the Gemara described what all these evils are. The captain of 50, respected person, advisor, scholar of scholar, and comprehender of secrets, I will make youngsters their leaders, and mockers will rule them. And then the way they describe these 18 maledictions It means those who are master of Tanakh, those who are master of the Mishnah, and then it says there used to be 600 orders of the Mishnah at one time, which had to be learned by heart, which went into all the detail. Then they all got lost. In the middle, there were only six left. And then supports of bread, these are those who master, they disappeared. And then it says every support of water, these are the masters of the Agadah who draw a person's heart, like a person draws water through the Agadic teachings. He referred to master of halachic traditions, which they forget about. Man of war refers to who knows how to thrust and parry in the battle of Torah. A judge is someone who judges in a true manner. Instead, they become false. Then there are no prophets left, and so on. So it continues that all the what does it mean? The master of Hamishim means people are masters of Chumash. They know what Chumash is all about. Now the explanation that it means that shouldn't the appointment should not be made in the community if the rabbi is less than 50 years old. But unfortunately, they didn't choose mature people to lead the people. So all these things become corrupted. And then says, but Isaiah was not satisfied with all these 18 curses, and he came to the 19th one, which was that the people who rule them are people who are empty of the mitzvot. They will domineer of one who is full of mitzvot as the pomegranate full of seeds. And the base will rule over the decent people. It means a person through grave sins seem like sins. And they will domineer over someone whom light sins seem as grave sins. The ignorant will rule over those who have knowledge, and the virtuous will be suppressed by those who follow vice. So, the question is, this is an expansion of the Ikra de Mashiach, but it says by the tracts of the Mashiach, it says the first one, which is one of the marks of the first pangs of the Mashiach, Chutz B'Yazke. So I'll tell you now, I'll quote you here from the Gaon of Vilna, how he understands this. Ikra de Mashiach means there are terrible signs, terrible inner pains of the nation of Israel, which are reflected in the great hostility of Ishmael. And the first one mentioned in the Gemara is chutzpah. Arrogance becomes the major quality of the people of Israel in the land of Israel. And they think they can rule. Look, I'll give you an illustration, a bit of this, if I may. It's a little bit political, but it has a great deal to do with the present situation. Now, it's a bit personal, but I don't mind saying it because I think it's very important for us to understand the reality of the situation, taken to the words of the sages. When before the elections, so Netanyahu insisted on speaking to the Congress in America. So I'm very friendly with Eli Yishai, you know, he's one of our close neighbors, and he comes here to pray regularly. And at the time when he was Minister of the Interior, he was a great friend of the yeshiva, helped us in many different ways. So I don't go into politics, you know, to start a new party. But I know that he was very close to Netanyahu. And he was hoping that with Netanyahu's support, you know, he would be able also to get to the government. So I said to him, because I know that, let's say, when Begin was prime minister, he used to consult with the Rabbonim when he made important decisions. When he made the decision to go and bomb the nuclear reactor in Iraq, it's going back a good few years, then I know that with Begin, he consulted with the leading rabbis to find out what they would say. So I said to Elishai, maybe you should speak to Netanyahu before the elections and suggest to him that he should ask the big Gedolei Torah if it's advisable to go and speak in the Congress before the elections. So he said to me, he won't listen to me. He won't listen to anybody. That's his agenda. And he can't influence it. Okay. Now, there's no question that Netanyahu, he is a positive Jew in many ways. And he, in certain ways, he certain things of important aspects of mitzvot, he does follow certain things. He, of course, he's got his high position largely because he's got plenty of chutzpah. And even this act of speaking live in Congress before the elections is chutzpah. And we know chutzpah yaske. But the chutzpah, I think the sages would have advised him, you go, to, why provoke? Wait till after the election and see what the situation is. Don't go and insist to speak there before the election. But then it looks to many people, you're doing it, using the Library of Congress, a platform to be elected as Prime Minister here. So it's in any case doubtful whether it helped him, whether it harmed him. But the act in itself, I'm almost sure, from what I know of the Gedolei Torah, would have said, you know, better to wait. Because our ways always try to achi shalom. And after all, in America, we know there's not everybody supports Israel 100%, but this might do harm. But we live in the time when we're led by a chutzpah yaske. Chutzpah is the one, is what gets people in the government, and what gets people to be elected as leaders. And most of the leaders, they how do they get in? They use the public relations experts. They find out what the people want and how you can influence the public or see if the public will elect you to get a majority. It's all part of the way of chutzpah to become a politician, which is does not always favor the people of Israel. If we would go in the way of the sages, we might have got much further. Right from the beginning of the state of Israel, we would have developed more the respect that exists in the Western world for people who are sincerely religious Jews, although we know there are plenty of different views, but still this was the founding of the Balfour Declaration and the support of many to give the Jews a national home in our time. So this should be developed and has often helped to get support from leaders who were in a situation of doubt whether they should support or whether they should oppose the established development of the State of Israel. So we see it happening with the Chutzpah Yaske. But the Chutzpah Yaske, it parallels also the enormous chutzpah which the nations of the world have, which is the enormous chutzpah, the chutzpah of the Iranians, you know. They mock, you know, with their chutzpah at the other nations. And they outdo Iran today, and Daesh, they outdo any efforts in the Western world, despite their chutzpah, to oppose them. You know, they're the ones who are leading the directions today, unfortunately. So the Vilna Gaon says like this. When it describes it starts with Chutzpah Yalske, that the first one of the deficiencies amongst the people of Israel. And the last one which is mentioned amongst the 15 is that the young rule the old. I mean, the mature, older people who give good counsel, they neglect it. And I don't think that it's a matter of chance that the greatest of the B'nai Israel are people, and have been people, in their 90s. Because they've reached the level, it said, Talmid HaChamim, the great, true, sincere scholars, the older they become, the wiser they become. And their intelligence applies to all areas of life. If you take advice from them, you go a long way. As happened also when Shlomo HaMelech died, and his son, he got youngsters in the government to support him to increase taxation, and the older people said, no, don't do that. Don't increase taxation upon the wider populace. You've got to satisfy their needs, that's the first thing. But no, he said, no, he's going to... The younger one said, no, we're going to introduce a new economy and so on. And the younger people said, we're going to rule, but won't go to the elders. That's happening today as well. They don't consult. They should consult with these people. And it's true that the ambassadors that come from abroad, and they met Lhavdil ben Chaim Lechaim, Rav Eliashiv, or today even they met with Steinemann, they are so impressed. It makes a huge impression upon them. That meet non-Jews, who are also in the world of politics, they see in these people, these are wise men, and their counsel is a good counsel. They know it. And the young people, they're interested in having a position. It's schizology. What is it here? What is the government? Called a new ideology, which is not really an ideology, it's schizology. That we described already. You know, like the face of the dog. They make out their leaders, but really they're only interested, which way can I get a high position? And when I've got a high position, which way can I keep it? So therefore, it depends. Their whole idea, I've got to keep my seat in the parliament. If I don't have a seat yet, I've got to work for it. That's what we're thinking of. We can't say, many of them, they at least consciously, they want to do good for the people of Israel. They think they can do it. But you have to learn. You take advice from wise people, from older people. Perhaps people are not directly in the world of politics, so that they have no bias at all. The only bias is the truth. It's well known. You know, even Ben-Gurion, in his time, he was very aggressive. He, through his aggressiveness, he got everything going. But when it came to certain issues, he went to see the Chazon Ish. Yeah, so I must discuss it with him. Chazon Ish was a person who never took a position. He was a very big saint, a huge scholar, and such wisdom came from him. He went to him for advice on all areas of life. You know, he was the brother-in-law of the Stiber, the uncle of Kanievsky. He was a great figure, and he gave advice left, right, and center. Anyone wants to come to him. And Ben-Gurion, very famous, the whole interview with him. And anyway, he managed to achieve that religious girls will not forcefully be put into the draft for the army. Because he thought this is going to influence the whole nation. It's going to make the womanly influence, which I've said many women used to say, if we would rule the world of different countries, there wouldn't be wars. Because women are made to produce life and to nurture life. But today, many of the women have become masculine. And the women said, we've got to be like the men, you know. We put on the garments of the men, and we are also... We want to put our foot down in every area of life. You know, they say, why does the chosen, at the end of the chuppah, why does he break a glass? You know why? Why did you break it off?
To mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim.
That's the true meaning. But what's the witty meaning? It's the last time he can put his foot down. You know that. Once he gets the magic up, it's she'll put her foot down. That's what he said. That is, that will happen sometimes. But, of course, the truth is that the women want to put their foot down, the feminist movement and so on. They say, oh, we want to be the rulers, we want to be like the men. They want to emulate the men. As a result, they forget a little bit. Rachamim, compassion, is the root of the word rechem. Why you begin the womb? The womb nurtures compassion. Without compassion, you can't nurture the embryo, and you can't nurture the little baby. It certainly requires, naturally speaking, biologically speaking, you've got to develop that quality in all areas of life. And since you have this quality, therefore it's true. If the women would rule, there wouldn't be so much killings in the world. It's probably a lot of truth in it. If the women, however, have to behave like women, and thereby influence their husbands to some extent neutralize the natural, more arrogant spirit that men possess. But what happens? Chutzpah Yaske. Before the Mashiach comes, the birth pangs of the Mashiach will come through chutzpah. So the 15 qualities in the Gemara, the Ish Mashiach begin with chutzpah Yaske, and what they end with, that the young will rule over the old, they have no respect, and even the older people, they'll be put to shame, and they'll be ignored, and the wise people will be negated, and those who fear sin will be regarded as not properly participating in the world. So these are the words of the Vilna Gaon. It goes quite deep. So I'm going to paraphrase them directly. He says, this is connected with the 18 curses Yeshayahu speaks about the birth pangs of the Mashiach as they exist today. And his negative qualities, they to some extent very similar to the birth tracts of the Mashiach. But we're going to ask like this. He asks the question, what? Yeshayah hated the people of Israel. Why does he describe all these? Why does he curse them? All these things are going to happen. Of course, he saw the seeds of it in his time. You know, we have Shabbat Chazon, which is the first chapter of Yeshayah, is the vision of Yeshayah, what will happen in the first Beit HaMikdash, and unfortunately we don't do Teshuvah in the second, and if we don't do Teshuvah in the whole Galut, till we have the most terrible troubles that ever come upon any nation. And he describes the roots of it. But why did he go into such detail? And the words used in the Gemara is a point of view did not become cooled down until he came up with this curse. It doesn't really seem to be the worst of it, but the worst curse seems to be this concept of the enormous chutzpah of the youthful ones who use their whole energy to go rule the whole of the people of Israel, and as a result they cause a big tumult in the whole world, and they have the reaction to the nations of the world. So why is it? Does he hate? We know he loved the people of Israel. So therefore he says like this, the truth is, he did love the people of Israel. He was foretelling here the terrible pangs, where we should know, if the pangs are so terrible, then we're going to have the birth of the Mashiach. And the complete redemption. That's how birth takes place. That's called Chavliya Leida, Chavliya Mashiach. Because it says, and it says like this, there's a statement of what? Agri the Kaladukka. Now this is very, very deep statement. Have any of you heard of the Yarchi Kala? What are the Yarchi Kala today? Know what they are?
It's 2 weeks of Torah study. The farmers had free time in the summer. They went to the synagogues of the Batei Knesset to study Torah.
Well, what is the Ahikala today? I'm asking you.
They have some.
They've been revived. What's the Ahikala today? They start in 2 weeks' time, Ahikala. So the main Ahikala are in Ponovitch Yeshiva. Ponovitch Yeshiva is one of the most fantastic high-level yeshivot in Eretz Israel. It was founded in the middle of the Holocaust by the Ponovitch Rav. I'll tell you, I was very close to him, a very great Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, and a big genius. And he was the rabbi of a place in Lithuania called Ponovitch. And there he founded a great yeshiva. And then came the Holocaust, and he, from that area, was the only surviving rabbi, managed to escape in the middle of the war and came to Eretz Israel, having lost his family in the Holocaust and having no support whatsoever. So what did he do? He built a yeshiva. He worked hard to get the money, and he got the best Rosh Yeshiva in the middle of the war. Then he got the best mashgichim, including also he got hold of my Rebbe, Rav Dessler, talking from England, to be the mashgiach there, and he became the yeshiva until today, one of the highest level yeshivas in Israel. And do any of you know what does it say in golden letters on that building? Any of you know? Have you been to Bnei Brak?
No, but you told us this before.
What does it say there?
That the Jewish nation will be found on Har Zion.
It says, in golden letters, when you go to Bnei Brak, have a look. Ben Azmanim, you go there, Ben Azmanim, and you see it's filled, the yeshiva's entirely full with Yahri Kalim. That means it's Balabatim, who have to work all, but they want to have a few weeks of their break, summer break, to go and learn Torah, and they're the biggest Rashi yeshiva giving shiur in there. And the Yahri Kalim were founded by him, because I was very close with the Ponovitcherov. When I was in Manchester, I had the schutz to found the Yachikal in Manchester. Same thing I did there. And now today you find it all over the world. They do Yachikala, they'd even do it other times of the year. So you'll find in the middle of the winter, the Ramada Hotel is taken over by a couple of hundred Balabatim who come there to learn like in Yeshiva. Okay. Was it Rosh Yeshivas from here? Give them shiurim. So the Ahikala, as Matisyahu said correctly, were founded in Babylon. And okay, let me go on with why does it have that pasuk in golden letters? It's also important to know. The pasuk he put up there is, Uvahar Tzion Tiplata Vayakodesh, from the prophet Obadiah, who speaks about the final galut. And then you wonder, well, what's going to be left of the people of Israel? So it says in the Pasuk, on the mountain of Zion there will be a remnant and it will become holy. So on this we've got a following question. Where's Har Zion? Where is it?
In the old city.
So we'd expect that Pasuk to be on Yeshiva Har Zion, the Diaspora Yeshiva. But they didn't put the Pasuk there. Why? Because the Ponovitch Rav had put it on his ship beforehand, so therefore they didn't want to put it there. But why? How can the Ponovitch Rav put on Bnei Brak that Bnei Brak is the mountain of Zion? It's not the mountain of Zion. It's in the mountain of Zion there'll be a remnant, and it will be holy. So I'll tell you why he put it there. Because he was a close disciple of Chofetz Chaim. He behaved like the Chofetz Chaim. He told over so many episodes of Chofetz Chaim. And he became a great worker to build up Torah in every part of Eretz Israel and also in other parts of the world. So I'll tell you the reason. Do any of you know the reason why I put that pasuk there? Do you know the reason?
No, I could take a guess.
No, it's not a guess. You won't know it by guess, only if you've heard it. It comes from some of the last words addressed by the Chofetz Chaim to his closest disciples. You know, Chofetz Chaim died just when Hitler came to power. And therefore, when he came to power, and his program was also constantly saying he wants to destroy all the Jews. He's the one who follows his way of speaking today is the head of Iran. All says, death to America, death to the Jews in Israel. Stop. And also Hitler said, oh, death to the Jews. That's what he wanted to do. Is the Jews are to be blamed for the falling of the German Reich? Blame the Jews. It was his way. And made all rules that, you know, we've got to develop the pure Aryan race. Deutschland über alles. So they were very frightened. This disciple, Chofetz Chaim, had a fantastic vision of the future, as we see from all his talks. So they asked him, what's going to happen in the future for the Jewish people? So Chofetz Chaim said, I see very dark clouds, unless we all do teshuvah, and Mashiach comes right away. We've got to big teshuvah. If not, then the communities of Europe, especially of Eastern Europe, will become destroyed. So they asked, well, what's going to happen? And we know the Jewish people can only survive if we have continuity of Jewish learning, Jewish teaching. So where can the Jewish people preserve their identity? In America. But America at that time, nearly all the Jews who were going there, they started desecrating the Shabbat, they couldn't try to make a living. Everything was deteriorating. They lost connection, became intermarried and assimilated. In America's the future. No chance. And what's going to happen in Europe? Europe is going to be destroyed. If that will happen, where can we expect the future? So Chofetz Chaim said, it'll be in Eretz Israel. That Chofetz Chaim, in fact, advised people. Even in 1929, when there was a big massacre, as you know, big massacre in Jerusalem, led by the Mufti of Jerusalem, who reinterpreted the Quranic traditions, you've got to kill all the Jews, became a partner with Hitler, and he massacred the yeshiva of Hebron, in Hebron, where they had good relationship with the more moderate Arabs, but the Mufti made a massacre there, and yeshiva had to be re-established in Jerusalem, that's why it's called Hebron, Hebron yeshiva, although it's not in Hebron. So he used to advise people, if you go there to learn Torah, it's a good thing. But you've got to be careful, go in the right place. So I suppose, have some of you read Rav Chaim Wasserman's famous essay, it's called The Epoch of the Messiah. If you haven't, you've got it in the yeshiva. Rav Chaim Wasserman was a disciple of Chofetz Chaim, a fantastic genius, someone who unfortunately became a kohen in the Holocaust. Today there's a yeshiva order of Hanan named after him, and I knew his son very well, who survived. He used to give the children the yeshiva also, but then went over to help establish the yeshiva in the name of his father. So when the Chofetz Chaim said it'll be in Eretz Israel, so they asked him, but we know that there are hundreds and thousands of Jews from the Jewish communities in the Middle East, and from the Jewish communities in Europe, who go to the land of Israel, and then they drop their religion. It's happening all the time. Because the secular Zionists, some of them strong communists, and they used to absorb the immigrants, and they used to introduce them to the modern, secular, even agnostic or some atheistic world. So he said, there, in Israel is going to be the future. Israel is in that time what destroying the spirit of the Jews who came filled with Torah, some of them, in their youth, and they left it. And they saw in Israel we're going to build a new secular society. The dream of Herzl, who thought that the Jewish problem would be saved by making the Jews like every other nation in the world. And that's why he even went to the Pope to ask if they could become a branch, some of Christianity. And others, that didn't work. When he started the concept, Jews have to have a separate national home, he said, And that's why we can be in Uganda, where it's easier. Uganda at that time, there's a possibility, one or two other places, where there were no other nations who were going to fight against us. But in the Middle East was a problem because the Muslims didn't want us to go and build up more Jews in what was then part of Jordan. They wanted to have more place for the Muslims. So therefore, the Rav Chana Wasserman, in that conversation where the Prophet was also there, he said, it can't come in Eretz Israel because, you know, it's just a great one-way traffic. They come from the Chadarim, some of them. Even in Europe, they start being influenced a bit by the communist Jewish department, or by the Bund, which was even more secular. So they come to Israel, and they try to remove any restrictions they find in keeping to Jewish traditions. So the Chofetz Chaim said, it says in this Pasuk, which describes the time of the Mashiach, it says that although Judaism and the Jews are destroyed all over the world, the Hatzion Tiplata, Hatzion there is a symbol. Because Tzion means direction. It's true there's one place called Tzion, but that concept of Tzion is Sharim Abtrim Balachad, it's to give direction to life. It's the symbol of Hatzion. And the remnant, Vahaya Kodesh, will become holy. They said, but say we see the remnant that gets there becomes unholy. So Rav Chofetz Chaim said, Vahaya Kodesh is a Vav Ahipo. Conversive Vav, it changes things over. In Hebrew it's even better. Vav Ahipoch is a Mapecha. He said there's going to be a revolution from people who unfortunately went the direction of Kodesh, they left Kedusha, but they're going to come back. They're going to make an opposite Mapecha. They're going to revolution against the secularists. They're all going to become religious. They'll become holy. That's what's going to happen. They'll become holy. Because the land of Israel is the place where ultimately, before the redemption, they'll do teshuva. So we can say that's the religious revolution which is taking place in front of our eyes in the teshuva movement. Teshuva is a mapecha. People have to turn over their lives. And today, at the grassroots level, the vast majority of Jews are ready for Teshuvah. Perhaps those who should be helping them along, we're not helping them enough. So that's their tzchus in front of Hashem. And on our side, we've got to help. So therefore, he put that pasuk on his yeshiva, because that's where he started his work, to try to make Eretz Israel a place of holiness. And he achieved it to a great extent. He built the yeshiva also in Ashdod. It's also from him. He wanted to build the yeshiva in Tveria. And he built the Yarche Kala. That's why I come with this. He tried to bring back Torah to simple Balabat. There is time during the year to learn in a concentrated way. So he said, let's go back to the custom which took place in ancient Babylon, where the great schools of Torah, of Pumbedisa and Nardoi, and Surah, these were great centers of Torah scholarship in the post-Talmudic era, who made it possible for us to have the Talmud Bavli. So those great scholars, how did they influence the wider people? They made, in the times, as he said, when they didn't have such after the harvest, when they didn't have so much agricultural work to do, people went, some people were twice a year, some was only once a year, and they listened to the droshes. So one of the statements made there, this is the text of the Vilna Gaon, we'll see soon. There's a Gemara in Brachos which says, Agra de Kala Duchka. Now, why were they called Kala? Kala means a bride. Why were they called Kala? But some say it's because they were intended as droshes and some times of learning and being immersed in Torah, which are the whole people. That nobody should say, well, you know, I've got no no, I've got no time to learn, I'm too busy and so on, I've got too much to do, a big family and so on. So they said, okay, the time when you're not so busy, come and meet the bride of the people of Israel. What's our bride? Our bride? Torah Tzivalan Moshe Morasaki Rachak, we have a bride. Chatan. We have a Chatan Torah. The whole people of Israel are really the chosn of the Torah. The Torah was given to give us inspiration. And that's the concept of Ava Torah. We love the Torah, this nation, like a Chatan loves his color. People of Israel have a great love for Torah. That's one explanation. To express that love. So therefore they had these, and used to give long droshes. And droshes, some of the droshes were a bit dealing with halachic disputes and debates, which were a bit above the head of the people. Many of them also included a lot of agadah to draw the hearts of the people and get them together. But, so it says there that agra the kala, the real one of the greatest aspects of reward of the kala was the crowd, the people, the crowds that came in. The fact is, when you're in a big crowd, they're all really impressed so much by the fact that there's the Rasha, by the greatest saints and scholars, and they're all together with them, it creates motivation. And that's, for example, some today as well. What creates motivation? For example, Dirshu. Dirshu is a program which I'm pleased that some of you are joining in, and it's fantastic. They make huge assemblies from time to time. They made huge assemblies. I put out on the things to be distributed on the if you look sometimes on the table outside in the entrance. I put all sorts of literature there. So then the last one, they finished the first machzor of Mishnah Berurah in Dirshu. They made huge assemblies all over the world, bringing close to 100,000 people who are now involved in the Dirshu programs, which is fantastic. And was that same as happened with the Daf HaYomi? They make a scene with the Daf HaYomi, they made it in Manhattan Square, the biggest squares, and that brings motivation. So the main reward is, in these huge assemblies, is the motivation that people get. Even people, ignorant people, that come along, they say, well, this must be interesting. Yeah? So instead of the, we know that sports events create big crowds, and the big crowds themselves, in fact, produce interest in the sport and excitement, you get excited. So the same type of excitement, before the Mashiach comes, will come from Agra the Kala. But that's the usual explanation. Now the Gaon of Vilna says there's something else here. Always goes much deeper. He says, Agra the Kala is really the Torah. And before the Mashiach comes, we're going to have big crowds. And the crowds are going to even push you. When you're a big crowd, you get pushed around a bit. But that in itself creates excitement. But the worst pushing around the people of Israel will get is in the Chavle, the birth pangs of the Mashiach. So here the Gaon of Vilna says, Agra the Kala, Duchka, is a reference to the greatest assembly ever of the people of Israel in Eretz Israel, where we'll be put through terrible sufferings, and those sufferings will push us, and if to do teshuva, because if we go on our own, so therefore the Torah itself will change the whole picture of the Jewish people, and then the Mashiach will come. It will be a completely different transformation of the Jew and transformation of mankind. But to get to that level, if we don't do it ourselves, Hashem will help us. So he helps us with all the troubles we get. There's certainly, when you think of all the troubles that face people today, especially the Jewish people, and you have a bit of feeling for them, it's very difficult to take. Tell you somebody, especially someone who has seen it with closest relatives. I've seen the Holocaust, even the pre-Holocaust. I even, when I played in Frankfurt, now I was reminded of it, because in the picture this morning of this latest Goebbels terrible travesty, it's a terrible thing, they're reviving it. The government's allowing, I don't understand. In Germany, they say anything that is incitement to anti-Semitism, they arrest them. How do they allow such things? It's also incitement. What's going on? But their policy has been like that. Some people tell them Germany's better than other places. If in Germany somebody incites, they're arrested right away. There's no debate about it like there was in England now. No, you want to make neo-Nazis? No, they know they have to get rid of it. And they're forgetting it a bit, what's happening. Even they're turning against it, it's very bad. So when you think of it, and I think, there's a picture there of him addressing the Hitlerjugend, and I still have it in my memory. I was aged 5 or 6 at the time, but I still remember it. There's a lot of music outside our house in Frankfurt, a little music, and they said to me, you know, children, we want to look what's going on. We hear all the marching and the songs and so on, big loud broadcasting, and then there's the voice. I think we saw him. The voice, the terrible voice of the madman, yeah, of Hitler himself, was heading it. And today I saw a picture of Goebbels himself addressing the Hitler Youth parade. And so it comes back. And if I know what's the result, my uncle was a rabbi in Frankfurt, and he just called Wassermann. Called Wassermann, he came to England, America, just before the war, and they said, please stay here, don't go back to, they're going to, and when he went back, he said, I can't leave my yeshiva, I can't leave that place. He said, I can't leave, come. She wouldn't leave it. And instead, he came himself, he was killed by the Nazis, the Holocaust. And my uncle the same, my uncle, he was in a house, and my father, tried to persuade him, please don't go back, I think it was already after Kristallnacht, don't go back, it's too dangerous. What's going to happen? The synagogue they burnt, the big synagogue, he still had his smaller synagogue, and he had a little kehillah, and he said, I can't leave if any Jews of my kehillah are still left, I have to go back to look after them. And then they tortured him to death. And my other uncle, you know, went to Auschwitz. So we've been through it. Baruch Hashem, my parents, they came early enough to make it possible for all of my close family to survive. So we're survivors. But we see the same thing happening today. Why? Because Am Yisrael hasn't done enough teshuva. And one reason they haven't done teshuva, because those who should know better, like myself, haven't done enough. I'm wasting my time, I have all sorts of things I have to do, in which case I know Hashem has given the koyach, the master b'tshuva, many more people. Yeah? And if I would have time, I would go and see Lapid, I would go and see those who don't understand this yet, to change them. I had the schus to be able to help a former president of Israel to become more pro-Jewish and understand things better, you know, in Torah. And I know myself, I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. But that's the situation. So here, Agra de Kala, Duchka, he says, all these curses, which we've been discussing, the curses mentioned by Isaiah, and the curses mentioned in the 15, curses, inward ones of ours, and curses from Ishmael, they are all to bring the redemption nearer. Nevertheless, the mind and vision of Ishaya did not become cooled down till he said, Hiravu hana b'zaken, that young people, they will pride themselves against the zaken. Zaken means an older person, and it means a person who through life has acquired enough maturity and wisdom to look at the future and know what might happen in the future. They don't just consider the moment. If we've got to consider what's going to develop. And often here, the politics in Israel, they are momentary politics. They say we've got to do things thinking what's going on today, and they don't look ahead enough. That's what the young people like that. Young people say, carpe diem, each day counts. Let's do what we have to. Let's go and enjoy this day. Let's go and maximize this day. They don't think about the future. But the Chachamim think about the future beyond their own life. They think about the future of themselves beyond their own life and the future of the nation beyond the time that they live in. They say, we've got a plan. And wise people in Torah know that we've been given guidance. What is a wise pattern? Not from our own minds. It comes from Hashem, from the Torah. That's why the greatest wise men will give us the best advice. And that's why it says written in Chumash, you've got any doubt in Torah, you've got to go to the Zakenim. The truth is, Zaken is Zeshe Kana Chochmah. When a person is young, he can also acquire it. But still, he can acquire it by delving deep in the Torah as a young man. Therefore, you acquire almost the wisdom of an old man. But still, the old man has the advantage that he's tested it in his own life again and again to remove bias and to think of everything objectively. Therefore, you can see the future better. So he says, when the time will be that there will be an enormous generation gap, that older people will be ignored, then certainly Mashiach will come. Why? Chutzpah will become so strong that it will grow, and that will bring the Mashiach. Why? What? He explains. What's the aspect of that chutzpah? Listen to this. I mean, it's so applicable. One could not. If anyone knows here, who really rules the country and their policy in Israel? Is it the government? Or is it some other party? Who?
The Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, they think they can, look, they think they can make decisions above the Knesset. That doesn't exist anywhere else, no other country. The court, the Supreme Court is, in all those and other countries, it's elected primarily by some members of the Knesset, but primarily by other judges. There are many different courts of justice, and those courts of justice appoint the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court of Justice have become an elite group, and what they think they can make rules to nullify whatever is decided by the democratically elected parliament. And here in Israel, they go very extreme in the level of democracy, which is not allowed in many other countries. To have in our democracy members of the Muslim community who express an antagonism to the state of Israel. And even, so one of them now, and I don't know what happened to him, I think he went even on the protest ship against Israel and pro-Palestinian. And they constantly speak, some of them, against the state of Israel. And we allow them to speak because this is allowing a fifth column, as it were, to develop within the country and endangering us. But democracy is extended to allow them also to bring their case before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, they have, depends whom they have, but generally speaking, they have like an elite group where the judges get together, and their policy has been to be very pro-Arab, and generally speaking, anti-Haredi, and often not allowing the government, although it's come to a certain majority decision, to follow their decision. They say, no, we say this is illegal. And somehow they manage to reach the stage where this rules. And the sages say that, he says, when the chutzpah gets great, they set up a judge and a leader who doesn't follow morality, doesn't follow proper moral concepts, the moral concepts that we really, like, for example, I don't know what happened in America. There was also, was it a Supreme Court decision? Or was it also adopted by the Parliament in America, by the Congress? A certain, to permit, it says in the Gemara, that although the Amikana were very corrupt, they were even corrupt to the extent of looking aside from homosexuality, but they did not arrange a marital agreement, a ketuvah, which should be recognized by the whole of society, a marriage settlement between homos. They wouldn't do that, because that's giving it too much legitimization. Yeah? But in America, they've given it. Who gave it?
Supreme Court.
Pardon?
Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Well, does that bind the Congress?
It does bind the Congress.
Pardon?
It does bind the Congress.
Pardon?
It does.
It does? It binds?
In the Constitution it does, yeah.
Constitutionally, the Supreme Court binds the Congress and the Senate also?
Yeah.
Yes?
But the Congress and the Senate are the same.
Pardon?
Congress and the Senate are the same.
So they can't overrule it?
No, but another Supreme Court could overrule it in a different decision.
You mean there's more than one Supreme Court?
No, the states can't overrule it.
Anyway, here in Israel, the Supreme Court, they decide things. So when, and this is not happening. And this, and the Gemara says, anyone sets up judges who are not really fair, they don't follow fair principles, it's as though they planted a tree god. Because the tree god is a god that brings happiness and brings fertility, but it does the opposite. Because you worship in truth. Yerushalmi calls it, these are gods of silver and gold. In other words, they put all their money. Some of these judges, they're really interested also keeping their position somehow, because they paid a lot for it. And he says, that's why the young, they put the elders into shame. But the elders, then they've got to stand up in front of the young. But who asked them to do this? But the chutzpah becomes so great that even the elders, they start listening to these arrogant so-called leaders. And it can even happen to the greatest leaders. Some of the greatest scholars will also become contaminated. And he brings the example of Agrippas. In Agrippas, he was a king. He established himself as king, although he was not really had any yichus to be the king. And says there, because of this, the Jewish people were destined for destruction of that generation, because they flattered him, because he had the power, and they didn't protest him. So he says, this is the principle of chutzpah. When it becomes very, very strong, you should expect the Mashiach. So no wonder that, let's say, Chaim Kanievsky, who is a nephew of the Chazon Ish, so he says constantly that we should expect the Mashiach very soon, because we go through all this period of all these situations of Ishmael, and this is it. Oh no, but now the important matter we learn from this is as follows. Really, this has a connection with Ishmael, because it says in Bereshit that Ishmael is Per Adam, is very wild and brings all suffering of the people of Israel. How did he do teshuva? As we said before, previous year, it said Ishmael did teshuva. Once he does teshuva, if he does teshuva, And if you Israel do teshuva also at the same time, Mashiach will come. And he's going to do teshuva. If we'll do teshuva, he'll do teshuva. And what's his teshuva? It's in this matter. But Yitzchak claimed, I'm really Yitzchak. So he was driven from the house, but he felt in himself that really he's the firstborn, and therefore everything comes to me. And that's shown in Islam, I'm the firstborn. I gave my life at the Akedah. I am the true son of Abraham. But at the end of his life, it says, when they buried Abraham, the end of Abraham's life, when both Yitzchak and Yishmael came to the Levaya, it says, Vaygru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. Yishmael did not protest that Yitzchak should come before him. In other words, he recognized Yitzchak was a greater person than himself. So he lost his chutzpah. And he said, right, I accept the leadership of the people of Israel. I'm going to strengthen the movement of moderate Muslims who say that Yerushalayim belongs to the Jewish people. Like you found, Graf Palatzi is one of those Bali Teshuva amongst the Muslims of recent times. He's going back to the concept, which is one way one can interpret the whole of the Quran, that the truth of Islam, they can be a partners in recognizing the true Mashiach and recognize the superiority of the interpretation of the Jewish people. The Jerusalem belongs to them. And from Jerusalem will go peace to the whole world. And we will support it. As you will find the description in the uncensored version of the Rambam's last chapter, where he says, you'll find it, I've got a few more modern versions where they bring from the manuscript of Rambam, which the censors took out, where the Rambam says that when the Mashiach comes, then Islam world and Christian world will recognize their mistake, and they recognize the superiority of the true word of Hashem found in the Chumash and in our prophets, and they'll participate in the peace movement of the whole world. And there'll be a changeover where the world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, like